live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the finance minister says the budgets of recent years cannot be repeated. Earlier in the day, Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson had accused the government of gouging people and urged them to rethink the decision to exclude energy credits from the forthcoming budget. The road at New Mills outside Letterkenny has reopened after a collision shortly before 10 o'clock this morning. 3 people injured, none life-threatening. Mary Lou McDonald says Sinn Féin's participation in the presidential election will be a game-changer, and she denies that the party is coming to the campaign too late. And the Northwest Regional Assembly warns of significant delays in the delivery of critical infrastructure in the Northwest. Later in the bulletin, Oisín's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15, but we begin with finance minister Pascal Donoghue, who says the budgets of recent years can't be repeated. He says the final costings for next year's spending package have yet to be decided, but reiterated there will be no more one-off cost of living bonuses. It comes as the central bank warns the government its planned package of €9.4 billion is too big. In the Dáil today, Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty again urged the government to rethink the decision to exclude energy credits from the budget. Minister Donoghue says he's committed to providing more targeted support to those who need it most.
I have to make the argument regarding why we should not repeat what we have done in recent years. The central bank this morning have been very, very clear regarding the risks of what we are alone doing at the moment, let alone the risk of going any further. And secondly, we face the choice. Do we want to spend the money that's available to us in building more homes, investing in our future, or do we want to repeat one-off measures?
Well, as we said, Donegal TD Piers Doherty said in the Dáil today during exchanges with the Taoiseach Simon Harris that energy companies who have announced price increases at a time when people can't catch a breath with the cost of living crisis are gouging people. He urged the government to rethink the decision to exclude energy credits from the forthcoming budget.
Still today, we have 300,000 households that can't pay their electricity bill. We have nearly 200,000 households that can't pay their gas bills. Despite the fact that 4 companies have come out now and said that we're increasing our prices by double-digit increases the week of the budget or slightly before, and you've decided to say that energy credits aren't going to make a way into the budget this year. It is the wrong decision. And I say to you, and I'm sure that you're listening to the same people that are talking to me, people who are pushed to the pin of their collar, people who know they're being ripped off. They know that the big energy companies are ripping them off, but your government has done nothing about it. As I said, you've pushed back against the proposals that we had to actually bring these prices under control. But it's the same with insurance, it's the same with rents, it's the same with foods. It's all talk and no action. The one action that you can have that will give support to people in the here and now is make sure that energy credits play a central part in a cost of living package in the budget. We are very clear it should be in the form of €450 that will support people right here, right now, because you have failed, your government has failed, to bring these companies under control in terms of the prices that they're charging, which are absolutely gouging people at this point in time.
Yeah. Look, I don't want to be too argumentative the first week back, but I mean, the Sinn Féin proposal to help people with their energy bills was to subsidise these massive energy companies. That was your proposal, to give our taxpayers' money to the energy companies. That was bonkers now, in fairness, and I think you reflected that, changed your policy. You weren't a big fan of the energy credits. I don't think you even committed to them in your manifesto. So you're now kind of jumping on every bandwagon going.
Well, Marina McDonald says Sinn Féin's participation in the presidential election will be a game-changer. Speaking at the National Ploughing Championships today, the party leader refused to reveal any details of the chosen candidate. An official announcement is due on Saturday. There's been speculation about a number of potential figures, including Deputy Piers Doherty and also First Minister Michelle O'Neill. It comes as the 3 confirmed candidates in the race so far spent the past 3 days at the Ploughing Championships speaking to people there. Marina McDonald denies that Sinn Féin missed an opportunity to get a candidate out and about for that important event.
I know that for the summer months, in what is called silly season by some, there have to be stories that are written about and pondered over. And the reality is we have had a very intensive deliberation and our timing is spot on.
The road at New Mills outside Letterkenny has reopened after a collision shortly before 10 o'clock this morning. A woman in her 80s and a woman in her 60s were both taken to Letterkenny University Hospital following the crash with what Gardaí have described as non-life-threatening injuries. A man in his 40s was also brought to hospital for assessment. The North West Regional Assembly is warning of significant delays in the delivery of critical infrastructure projects in the region. The body forecasts that just 14 out of 35 identified priority infrastructure projects are likely to be shovel-ready for delivery by 2030. With more, here's Shane Beattie.
The NWRA believes one of the projects likely to be shovel-ready for delivery by 2030 is the 10T project, with planning permission expected before the end of 2027, paving the way for works to commence between 2028 and 2030. It's also anticipated that work on the Letterkenny GIS substation project will commence in 2027. Airgrid has also indicated that a further extension of the network, including linking Letterkenny and Derry, will begin in 2030. It's also looking positive for the IT, Library and Education building at ATU Letterkenny and the expansion of Ulster University's McGee campus to cater for 7,500. The body remains unsure if the A5 will get off the ground before 2030 due to ongoing court delays. Projects the NWRA believes will not be shovel-ready by 2030 include the N56 Invert to Killybegs route and the reintegration of rail in the northwest.
It's understood an announcement will be made tomorrow on a new framework for dealing with troubles, legacy issues. Both the Irish and UK governments have recently said a deal is close. The British Labour Party manifesto promised to repeal and replace the controversial Legacy Act brought in by the previous Conservative government. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says some more work needs to be done.
This issue has not been resolved. When I say resolved, we don't have a credible pathway to help families who are grieving. And we're now into third generations, you know, of nephews, nieces and grandsons and granddaughters coming to us looking for closure on many, many cases as a result of the Troubles.
Well, the DUP leader says the UK government has one more chance to get this right. Gavin Robinson says an acceptable resolution has to be reached now.
I fear that if all of this fails, there won't be another opportunity or roll of the dice trying to answer the issues around legacy. Victims are saying very clearly that they are listened to, but they're not heard. And if anything, tomorrow, we need to see the government clearly respond to say that they have heard and they will respond to the needs of innocent victims in Northern Ireland who had lives destroyed and families torn apart through terrorism.
The launch of the Moville Regeneration Strategy Action Plan is taking place this evening at 7 in the Glencrow Hall in Moville. Donegal County Council is inviting stakeholders and people in the area to attend. A Donegal deputy says no child should be denied the opportunity to grow, thrive and learn. Deputy Charles Ward says it's unacceptable that over 400 children across the country were unable to start school this month as parents struggled to secure a place at an appropriate school to meet their child's needs. He's called on the Education Minister to rethink a proposal to redesignate special schools to ensure children of all needs have access to education.
I would like to take this opportunity to ask Minister McAtee to reconsider the proposal for redesignation of special needs schools for children with mild general learning disabilities and actively engage with schools on the ground regarding this. The purposed reclassification of schools would result in many children being returned to mainstream education, which parents and teachers in Donegal have told me this would not be in the children's best interests.
And the Dáil has been told some families of children with disabilities in the county are in turmoil because they're being denied psychiatric services from the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service, as well as access to medication. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin said some families are now effectively trapped at home. Speaking during Dáil's statements on a national human rights strategy for disabled people in the country over the next 5 years, Deputy McLaughlin highlighted the reality being faced by a number of families.
Failure to recruit a range of professionals has led to appalling outcomes for children with disabilities and their parents. Imagine that you're locked in your own home. You can't leave because your child is just, it's going to be an awful situation where extended family will be physically attacked and nobody will help. Nobody can help. Either in terms of psychiatric assistance or respite. That's the reality on the ground and it has to change, Minister.
Well, staying with education matters, and a child in Donegal is being denied access to education, it's been claimed, because of her medical condition. The four-year-old is a type 1 diabetic and requires constant blood sugar monitoring. An SNA was approved to support the child at preschool level, but since she moved to national school, no funding's been made available. As of 2 o'clock tomorrow, she's no longer allowed to attend school, as there will be no designated SNA to look after her. The child's mother, Lorna, spoke to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show. She says being forced to remove her daughter from school is deeply unfair.
I think it's just unfair, but she is not going to get the education what she needs or the support. How do I tell a four-year-old what she can't go to school with her other siblings over her medical condition?
Well, you can hear that full interview, of course, on today's 9 till noon show. It's podcast on our website, highlandradio.com. It's also available to view on our Facebook pages and also our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. Survivors of mother and baby homes in Donegal are being urged to apply to be part of the National Centre for Remembrances Steering Group. The centre is being developed in Dublin on the site of the last Magdalen laundry to close and will remember all those who spent time in institutions across the country. Members of the steering group will be part of the decision-making process for the centre, which will comprise a museum and exhibition space, a research centre and a repository of records related to institutional trauma in the 20th century, and also a garden space for reflection and remembrance. With the deadline for applications tomorrow, Patricia Carey, Special Advocate for Survivors of Institutional Abuse, is urging people in Donegal to come forward.
We need representation from people all over Ireland. We know that in every county in Ireland there were institutions, including in Donegal and in the Northwest. So we're asking people who were maybe spent time in those institutions themselves, in some instances it may be their family members, in mother and baby and county homes, Magdalen laundries, people who were affected by adoption and forced family separation. They can ring the department. It's a Dublin number, 01-647-3200. So that's a Dublin number, 647-3200. Obviously, there's some flexibility. If people want a hard copy of that application form, it's simple to fill in. They can also contact the department at National Centre. That's all one word, National Centre at dcde.gov.ie. And I would particularly appeal, we want to hear from people who maybe previously have not come forward, people who'd like to talk to the National Museum of Ireland to get involved in what is actually going to go into that museum to represent the time that they spent in institutions or their experience of being separated from their families.
Ordering your club gear is effortless with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest's leading supplier for GAA clubs, at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Good evening, Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with athletics. Mark English's hopes of making the world 800-metre final came to an end earlier this afternoon in Tokyo. The Fun Valley AC man kicked early in his semi-final, leading out the pack on the final lap, but crossed the line third in 1 minute 45.47. That time at a wet Japan National Stadium wasn't good enough to make the final. English's Irish teammate Kian McPhillips did qualify in spectacular fashion, as the Longford man followed up his victory and his heat by winning the second semi in a new national record of 1:43.18. English, of course, had broken that record three times in the lead-up to the Worlds, with a previous benchmark set by him at 1:43.37. And we'll have more on the World Championships with our athletics correspondent, Patsy McGonigal, coming up on The Score after the 7 o'clock news. Also on the programme, there's lots of local football. Former Finn Harps manager Anthony Gorman looks ahead to this week's games for Finn Harps and Derry City. The new Donegal League season starts this weekend. Chris Ashmore will have a preview with Oscar trainer manager Eamon Sheridan and league chairman Tam McLaughlin. And we'll also speak with Jason Quigley about the upcoming Rumble in the Hills professional boxing event. It's all part of the Score programme tonight after the 7 o'clock news. To boxing, Katie Taylor is set to take a spell away from boxing to attend to personal matters. That's according to WBC President Mauricio Solomon. The undisputed super lightweight world champion was last in action in July when she defeated Amanda Serrano at the Madison Square Garden. With Taylor away from the sport for a period, she will now be recognised as champion in recess. Sandy Ryan will take Taylor's place for the bout with Chantel Cameron for the vacant WBC belt. In football, Barcelona are the visitors to St James's Park in the Champions League tonight as Newcastle return to Europe's top competition. It was 28 years ago when Tino Asprilla scored a hat-trick and a famous 3-2-1 over the Catalan side. Newcastle manager Eddie Howe is hoping for a similar outcome at St James's Park again this evening.
It is a historic fixture. I think it's one that, as soon as we realised we were drawn against Barcelona, it had a sort of a magical feel to it. I think it'll be an amazing game to experience.
Manchester City hosts Napoli. Both of those games start at 8 o'clock at the same time. Eintracht Frankfurt face Galatasaray and Sporting take on Kairat. The earlier matches from 5:45 see Club Brugge up against Monaco, and Copenhagen are taking on Bayer Leverkusen. The Republic of Ireland have dropped one place to 61st in the latest FIFA World Rankings. That's one place above Jordan, who have qualified for their first ever World Cup. Spain are at the top of the rankings, with France leapfrogging world champions Argentina into second. Jose Mourinho has been unveiled as the new manager of Benfica on a two-year deal. The former Chelsea boss was sacked by Turkey side Fenerbahce last month. Mourinho previously managed Benfica for a period way back in 2000. Fin Harps will form part of the new Women's Development League that will be created ahead of the 2026 League of Ireland season. The new tier will replace the existing Women's Under-19 League and features 10 new senior teams as well as Under-23 sides from existing Women's Premier Division outfits. The Harps Under-19 side will play in Group A, with their opponents being Athlone, Bohemians, Drogheda United, Dundalk, Galway, Longford, Mayo, Piemont, Shelburne and Sligo Rovers. Finally, in snooker, after coming from 3 frames to 1 down to beat Alec Carter last night, Aaron Hill returns to action at the English Open tonight. The Cork native faces Jack Lovski for a place in the quarterfinals. Ulsterman Mark Allen plays Ding Xi Wei, and they are due for action at around 7 o'clock. That's your sport, Noel.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. Well, it's a Thursday, which means it's time for Farming News and Views. Good evening, Chris Ashmore.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit Unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello and welcome to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. In a week where the National Ploughing Championships are taking centre stage in the farming community, and indeed there's a big contingent from Donegal who have made the trip to the venue in Offaly. Well, coming up later we'll hear from Joe Healy, the former IFA president who is now chairperson of Cultivate Credit Union. But first, Glen Swilly farmer Phelan Molloy has been elected as the new National President of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association following its AGM in Roscommon, and he succeeds Vincent Roddy. Well, I've been speaking to him about his new role. Phelan, many congratulations on your election to the position. No doubt you have a number of priorities. The Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Martin Hayden, was at the AGM. Do you have a good relationship with him, and do you feel there was a listening ear there?
Yeah, good evening, Chris, and good evening to all your listeners. Yeah, actually, we had a very successful AGM. We had a substantial crowd there in excess of about 150 delegates. The Minister for Agriculture, Martin Hayden, addressed the meeting, and he outlined what his priorities would be for, you know, the CAP, new CAP programme especially. There was a number of different areas covered, but from our perspective, the main issues that we're facing at the moment is obviously the new CAP from 2028 to 2034, the implementation of the Nature Restoration Law, which has major concerns, especially for the farming systems that we would be practicing in our areas, and also the issue of land designations, which has been on the go now for the last 20 years or more. So they would have been the main issues. The questions from the floor to the minister would have been very much around policy. So, in fairness now to the minister, he did actually deal with them very, very well. And I think that there was a general acceptance that he understood, and he does understand the problems that we are facing into in our areas, and especially with the extensive farming system. So from that perspective, it was very beneficial.
And in what was a new departure at the AGMs, you had a panel of experts on suckler and hill farming, so I'm sure that went down well.
Yeah, it was very, very well presented from the point of view that the focus was on farming on the high nature farmlands that would be mostly down the west of Ireland and most of the uplands. All of the speakers there would have been very supportive and, in fact, outlined, you know, what their concerns would be if there was any curtailment of those farming practices, because quite clearly from an environmental point of view, those farming practices have been proven are actually beneficial for biodiversity. There was also the social aspect of an economic, because If you removed the farming activity that we undertake from an economic perspective, it's going to have a massive impact on rural communities. And from a social point of view, I mean, it is a social outlet for a lot of, especially older type farmers and that. So those points were very well covered both by the speakers and from questions from the floor.
One of the functions for you was to actually appoint the vice president. So who are they and where are they from?
Yeah, it's a prerogative of the incoming president to nominate two vice presidents. And I nominated Seamus Cosgrove, a Mayo farmer, and the Kerry man, just to show that we'd no hard or feelings after the All-Ireland final. John Joe Fitzgerald. John Joe has been vice president for the last number of years, so I re-nominated him for the next 2 years.
And finally, Phelan, here in Donegal for the INHFA, what is the current branch structure like?
Yeah, we have five branches in the county, and all of those would be actively engaged, communicating with members, getting feedback from the members on the ground as to what the issues of concern are, and if there were problem with payments and that sort of thing. So we would have a very active branch structure, and we have a county executive in place as well, just to engage and, say, debate around policy formulation. So we find that working very well at the moment, and there is great engagement.
And that was Phelan Molloy, the new national president of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association. Many of you may well be aware of Cultivate, an initiative of a group of credit unions that provides short to medium term loan opportunities geared specifically towards the farming community. Well, since it was launched, it's gone from strength to strength, and this week it released details of its lending review for the first 6 months of the year, and a number of new initiatives are being planned. Joe Healy is the Cultivate chairperson and a former IFA president, and no stranger to Donegal or indeed to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. And he's joined me to give me an update. Joe, good to have you on. First of all, farmer demand for loans, just looking there, roughly double what it was in 2022. And there are many positive trends in the review.
There are, yeah. And I suppose the key thing that we're announcing this week is the increase in the upper limit from 75,000 to 100,000 for the unsecured lending. And then a number of credit unions are offering the, that's for the unsecured lending, they're offering the secured lending of up to 300,000. So there are big changes. I think the fact that we've gone from 75 to 100,000 reflects the demand, but also reflects the increase in the loan demands. Like, our average loan now is just shy of 40,000. 2 years ago, that was 31,000. So that's a sizable increase. So that's why we've increased the overall limit as well. And I think year to year, from January to June, compared to the normal banking sector, they're shown a drop of 19-20% in their loans, whereas we've only about a third of that drop in ours. And that's really to do with, I suppose, the better commodity prices that are out there for most of the main sectors, including dairy and beef, and those farmers are doing that bit of extra work from that extra money that's coming in on the milk and the beef. Like,
and I see also that farmers are opting for longer repayment terms. What's behind that?
I suppose one of the great things about the Cultivate loan is that every credit union that joins Cultivate, they have to do a training course before they join it to get up to the lending manager or the marketing manager, to get up to date with the farming lingo and what's in the pipeline, you know, whether that's CAP or whether it's like the Mercosur. But the one thing that we would always say to farmers is never to kind of exert themselves or put themselves under too much pressure in relation to the repayments. The average term has gone up from 67 months maybe 2 years ago to 78 months. So that's almost a year extra they're taking to pay it back. In fairness, and we've always said it and we find it in Cultivate, farmers are probably the best sector at doing everything they can to meet repayments.
And finally, Joe, the whole Cultivate movement has been an unqualified success, and the credit unions that are offering these loans, it's all about dealing with local people, and that personal contact is certainly paying dividends.
Well, it's incredible, Chris. You know, they talk about technology and everything. Our biggest strength in the credit unions and what people seem to like most is that personal touch, where they can go in to the local credit union, sit down and talk to a person rather than, you know, put stuff into a computer. And the fact that it's local as well, it's flexible. You know, there aren't any exit fees. There's an insurance paid there in the event of any major catastrophe. And just that personal touch, it works all the time.
And that was Joe Healy there, the chairperson of Cultivate. Finally, the Donegal Pedigree Cheviot Breeders will have their annual show and sale of Pedigree Shearling Rams, Hoggett Ewes and Ewe Lambs at Stranorler Mart next Wednesday. That's September the 24th, with the sale from 7 o'clock. All rams are SIS approved, and it will all be live and online on Marti. Well, that's it for this week's Farming News and Views. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybofey and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Well, the forecast mostly cloudy this evening with rain at times, staying cloudy tonight with rain and drizzle. Lowest overnight temperatures of 11 to 13 degrees Celsius in moderate to fresh southwest winds, decreasing light to moderate. Tomorrow, Friday, will be mainly dry with some brighter sunny spells extending from the west. Top temperatures of 15 to 17 degrees Celsius in light to moderate southwest to west winds. Looking at the closing headlines on this Thursday evening, the Finance Minister says the budgets of recent years cannot be repeated. Pascal Donoghue was speaking after the Central Bank warned the government's planned spending package in the budget is too big. In the Dáil earlier, Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty had again urged the government to rethink the decision to exclude energy credits from the forthcoming budget. The road at New Mills outside Letterkenny has reopened after a collision shortly before 10 this morning. A woman in her 80s and another woman in her 60s were brought to hospital following the crash with what Gardaí have described as non-life-threatening injuries. A man in his 40s was also brought to hospital for assessment. Sinn Féin's Míle McDonnell says the party's participation in the presidential election will be a game changer, denying that they're getting their candidate out there too late. She confirmed that an official announcement will be made on Saturday. She says a candidate has been chosen. There's been speculation about who it might be. Names being suggested include that of Donegal TD Piers Doherty and also the First Minister Michelle O'Neill. And the Taoiseach says there is still work to be done before agreement can be reached on a new framework for dealing with Troubles legacy issues. An announcement is due to be made tomorrow. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock, and you can check all today's news, of course, on our website, highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 18th of September. The death has taken place of Vera McElhenney, née Canning, Market Street, Rathmullen, reposing at her home tomorrow and Saturday from 12 noon until 10 p.m. Funeral mass on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock in St. Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, followed by burial in Rathmullen Cemetery. The mass can be viewed on MCN Media. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Breast Cancer Ireland, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Ellen Robinson, née McKeown, Pan Street, Dunfanaghy, formerly of Carrickfergus, County Antrim. Ellen is reposing at her home in Dunfanaghy, which is private, please, to family and friends. Funeral mass in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The mass can be viewed on mcn.live. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Letterkenny Renal Dialysis Unit, care of any family member, or James Harkin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Kathleen Ruddy, née Gallagher, Ballylosky, Carndonagh. Her remains are en route to her late residence. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to Sacred Heart Church, Carndonagh, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on carndonaghparish.com. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Art Even Unit, Carndonagh, care of any family member, or Blaine McCarran, Kelly's funeral directors. The death has taken place of George Doherty, Watt, Porthaghlen, Buncrana. His remains will repose at his residence until 10 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 p.m. Funeral from his residence on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. And the death has taken place of Marion Johnson, née Haughey, Doris, Ross Begg, Donegal, formerly of Ballymore, Teelan. Her remains are en route to St Connell's Church, Kilcluny, arriving for 6 o'clock. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.